Romans chapter 13, verses. We're actually going to start in verse 8.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Jeff, threw you a loop there. Start in verse 8. Start in 8 for me, Jeff, please. Or I could start in 11. We've enabled you anyway by putting it on the screen. Where's your Bibles? Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And the church said, amen. The time has come to wake up. It's a lot later than we think. You ever wake up? You know, you got to be somewhere the next morning. And maybe you had such a good sleep. It was a pretty decent sleep. Or maybe it wasn't a great sleep. But who knows? You kind of wake up. You're kind of go, what time is it? You know, and maybe you look out and you kind of go, oh, it still seems like it's pretty early. And the reason you're thinking that is because you're in this fog of sort of just waking up, right? And there's you really can't make everything out unless you roll over and actually look at the clock, but you don't want to do that anyway because you really want it to be a little bit early if you want a little bit more sleep, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate all the early risers up there, out here, like 5 a.m., I'm up, boop, you know, I don't even need an alarm, okay? I love those people. I is not those people, okay? Part of it is I really do. I am a night owl, okay? But you're in that funky state, right? Slumber. You know, you're not quite awake. And I think that Paul writes this, or the Holy Spirit writes this, because it understands that this is sort of the temptation or the state of humanity in a lot of ways. Is that it's a lot later than we think it is. It says our salvation is, it's nearer now than it was at the beginning, okay? Well, that's true, I believe that. It's just like anything, it's near the hope that I have in the Lord of seeing Jesus. Of my wife leaned over to me during the singing, and she says, just singing in heaven is going to be amazing.
Amen.
With all the instruments. I mean, we were having it pretty good here, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty good with Tali up here. I love that kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he's kind of a kid to me, you know? Love that guy. But I mean, in heaven, the singing's gonna be amazing, like you're right. So that is closer, that long fellowship line to hug Jesus, it's closer now than it was when I first started. But the time is near. We're living in an age, brothers and sisters, of what one preacher calls anarchy apostasy, and apathy. We're living in a time of anarchy in our world. We can see it around us in America or in the West, but we're living in a time of lawlessness where following truth is no longer even important. It's a time when the Bible is thrown out. It's a time of lawlessness. Probably don't really think of it that way, but lawlessness is really not following or getting in line with God. And it's not always just people out on the street seemingly breaking things, okay? Sometimes lawlessness is far more subtle. But we're living in a time of anarchy, a time of apostasy. What I'm amazed at, even what some people that are in the pulpit preaching will do and will say. The compromises of many ministers and preachers. And I hate to say this, I've even seen it even in our own fellowship. The compromise, the willing to do whatever seems good and seems right to the people. Whatever the people want, well, that's what we do. And it's a time of apostasy, but I've seen ministers that have, people that have been in the ministry, they are, have not seen this in our fellowship, but I've seen in the religious world ministers that will say things like, you know, I no longer believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. That I think the cross is an outdated and brutal way to think about Jesus. That God would never do such a brutal thing. It's a story that was made up. I'm going, well, then we just got to throw out the entire New Testament. We just got to throw the whole thing out. But it's also a time of apathy in the pews. Like there's apostasy from the stage, from the so-called leaders, the so-called teachers. But there's apathy in the pew because the people sitting in the pew, they don't read their Bibles. They don't really know if what he's saying is accurate or she is saying is accurate or not. Really, matter, they really don't care. We kind of like these big churches because there's a certain amount of anonymity to them. I just kind of sit in the back. I come, I look around, I watch the show. Nobody bothers me. You know, I make a couple $100,000 a year. I put 10 bucks in the plate. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. All good. I'm out. Did you go to church? Oh, yeah, my church is great. They got classes and a discipleship plan and the kids ministry. It will blow your mind. If you press them, they'll say, I just really go for the kids. So there's an apathy in the pew. And this is happening. Church, our young people in this country or in the West are confused. They're trading the gospel for spiritualism that has no anchor in truth at all. They're experimenting with tarot cards and astrology and self-proclaimed energy works and sort of the manifestation of TikTok. It's become its own little religion. I wonder what TikTok has to say. It's like its own denomination, you know? They claim to be spiritual. But the question has got to be asked, what spirit are they following? 1 John 4:1 says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Amen? Amen. If your only standard of truth is how you feel, then you'll never be able to discern truth at all. And so we hear this common phrase, speak your truth. Live your truth. But what do the statements really mean? They mean ignore the truth of God and follow your feelings. That's what they mean. It's subtle. They don't come out and say, well, ignore the truth of God. But if they say, speak your truth, you're going to go, what's my truth? So then you have to then just say, well, if you're speaking your truth and God's truth is different, which one are you going to believe? My truth. So then I have to ignore the truth of God. The enemy is strategic. More strategic than we even think. You know, Genesis 3:1 says this. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. Satan has always been working in disguise and crafty. But today, he's not even hiding anymore. Let's take the Satan temple. You ever heard of the Satan temple? TST. It's called the Satan temple. On April 25th, 2019, it was officially granted 501(c) religious status in the United States. The same exempt status as churches. Now, I have believed for years that Satan has been in a lot of churches. I do believe that. And I believe he's disguised himself in a lot of churches in a lot of ways. But now we go, I don't need to disguise myself anymore. I'm just going to start a church, and I'll call it Satan Temple. I don't even disguise it anymore. They're so asleep, they won't even notice. They won't even notice that I started a church. I mean, they're kind of dead in the pews anyway, so when I'm in the church, they don't really recognize it. I'll just start a church. Christmas. They won't pay attention. Like, most of us didn't even know that. You kind of go, really? Is that a thing? Yeah. Wokeness means something else. It doesn't mean being woke to God's word. It just means something else, you know? He just says, let's just call it what it is. But here's the kicker. Here's what they claim. They claim they don't worship Satan. They're called the Satan Temple. We don't worship Satan. We only use Satan as a symbol of rebellion and reason. They want to place Baphomets, which are these statues where the Ten Commandments are. So wherever you go, if you were to go into a place and there was the Ten Commandments, they want to place statues across for them, okay, and defiance to them. They want to be in the schools. Wherever there's a Christian club, they want to make sure that they have a Satan club in the schools. But they don't worship Satan. They just want to have clubs. I'm going to show you an image of a Baphomet, not to hurt your faith, but maybe you've seen it, but at least you'll be aware of what it looks like. This is an image that they want to have in multiple places. So when you see it, you'll know that they are on the move, 700,000 strong now in the world. The average age, 20 to 28. This is spiritual anarchy. It's happening in broad daylight. But they tend to think, they say that, you know what, we're not worshiping Satan. Well, I saw there's light and there's darkness, amen? And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me is against me. Amen. There's no middle. If you think you're neutral, if you're deceived, if you're not walking in the light, you're stumbling in the dark. Amen. It's either one or the other. And I know we tend to think, because there's a sort of, there could be a deadness in the pew, like, oh, you know, yeah, this is all good. We're just kind of hanging out. Not really. Don't need to be on fire for God. Just hanging. Chilling. This is the trick of the enemy, amen? It's exactly what he's done to the Satan temple members. We don't worship Satan. It's just a symbol. I'm going, really? Just a symbol? I think Satan's going, I still got it. Yeah. Satan's going, I'm still crafty. They don't even see me. Didn't see me in the church. I named it Satan. They still don't see it. Still aren't picking up on it. So what I will say, 3 points. Point one, wake up from your slumber. Romans 13:11 says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than we first believe. Paul uses a word here, hypnos here. And it's where we get the word hypnosis, right? It's describing people that are sort of walking around in that half sleep, half awake, but completely controlled state of mind. If you've ever seen someone be hypnotized, they wake up, they go, what happened? What did I do? That's where society is. It's kind of like, they're just sort of hypnotized. Constantly in a state of slumber. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. We are in the last days, and every moment draws closer to God's return. That means we can't afford to walk around like everything is normal. As Christians, we can't just afford to walk around like everything is all right. Everything's not all right. It really isn't. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying there is much to do. Amen. There is work on every hand. We have to be the light of the world. Amen. It is our calling. And I'm telling you, with less time than we think. And I'm telling you, Satan is crafty. I just gave you one example in Satan Temple. There are multiple examples where Satan is on the move. And as disciples of Jesus, we got to wake up from our slumber. Amen. The only way to know what's right is to wake up and test everything against God's word. Point number two, cast off the darkness. Amen. 12 and 13 says, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and debauchery, and not in dissensions and jealousy. And here's the thing. You would almost think this is just ancient Rome sin. Those Romans. It's Romans and their debauchery and their drunkenness and their jealousy and their dissensions and their sexual immorality. It was Romans. They were so immoral. And dissensions and the all of the conflict and the fighting among them. They're just so Roman. I will say, man, this fits for us today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This really fits us today very well. This is modern American culture. This is in your schools and in your neighborhood and on your block, amen?
Yeah.
And in some cases, maybe in our houses. He's describing for a century what we see now, drunkenness. Parties, bars, you name it. Workplace events. I'll tell you, be careful at these workplace events. Satan is crafty, very crafty. You go to these things, you're hanging out, you're just trying to fit in, get along. I want to hang out with the people, get along, hang out. You'll find yourself having a drink, one too many, some little cute intern. Come on. What's up, big fella? Or girl, I don't know, you know. I'm talking girls to me, you know, guys. Well, maybe as a gal, a woman, you're at a work event and this guy who's really suave, suave, whatever. I never was it, so whatever. Rico suave, amen. You got to watch yourself at these work events. Satan doesn't take breaks. Yeah, he is looking to get you. And you'll develop bad habits, sexual confusion, glorified immorality, social media that's full of dissension. I even see it. I see it in the church. I see people that call themselves Christians that love to get on social media and name and blame and shame other people. I'm just going, you can't call yourself a Christian. Stop calling yourself a Christian and just do it. Join the Satan temple. I don't know, you know, but you cannot call yourself a Christian and do those kind of things. That is not what Jesus would do. But these are sort of fashionable statements in our world today. All of these things are very fashionable, and you can begin to believe that, hey, this is just the way we should live now. Yeah. We all should be doing this, and we all should be engaged in this, and we all should be going to those parties, and we all should be participating in this or that or whatever the case. And the Bible says, take it off. Those are the fashion clothes of the day, but take that off. Take it off right now. Kind of like how you talk to your teens when they put something on, you got to go, take that off. Throw it away. You know what I mean? You're not wearing that out of my house. Maybe that's just personal experience. I don't know. But he says, take this stuff off. We can't blend in the culture of darkness, brothers and sisters, and call it evangelism. We can't do it. We can't wear the world's values and claim to follow Jesus. Darkness is still darkness. Even if you put a filter on it, darkness is still darkness. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't be light if you're dressed like the dark. Amen? Point number three. Clothe yourself with Christ and armor up. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, see, this is not a suggestion. This is about survival, brothers and sisters. It really is. You've got to put on the armor if you want to survive. You're not going to survive without the armor of light. It just won't work. You've got to put it on and wear it. And what is it? Galatians 3:27 says this, for all of you, pull that scripture up. Galatians 3:27. This is a good verse. Galatians 3:27. Someone has it memorized, I'm sure. It's a great verse. Great verse for Bible study. Amen. Galatians 3:27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ, you have put on the clothes of Christ. Your baptism, it was when you went down, you came up, the old clothes were gone, the new was gone. You put Christ on, amen? Amen. It was a beautiful thing. But in putting him on, it is how you survive. And don't ever take it off. It never gets dirty. Never needs to be washed. Don't ever take it off. In the early church, new believers were given these white robes after baptism. And it was a symbol that they had put on Christ. It wasn't just a ritual. It was sort of an identity. To put these white robes on and be like, yes, I'm clothed with Christ. That would do something to our budget, wouldn't it, if we did that? But Piper's teaching sewing up there, and maybe she can make us a bunch of white robes. I would just say, don't just believe in Jesus, brothers and sisters, wear him. Don't just believe in Jesus, wear him. Wear him everywhere you go. Wear him in your speech. Wear him in your habits. Wear him in your relationships. Wear him in your resistance to temptations. Wear him at work. Wear him wherever you go. Don't be divided people. You know, we're kind of divided people. Like they say, we're supposed to have our work life and our home life and our church life and our, you know, get our kids to school life. And we got, and no wonder we all need therapy. I'm like, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I got to be 10 different people. I have no idea who I am. Where am I? Who am I supposed to be today? I forgot I was at work. I got to act like a work person. You're just a Christian, amen? Everywhere you go. All the time. We take the Lord with us everywhere we go. So don't be so divided. Just be a Christian wherever you go. I appreciate my son-in-law, Nate Schrader. He shared this with St. Charles last week. Did a great job preaching last week, didn't he? My daughter chose well. I don't know why they're not sitting together today, but whatever. Work that out later. But Nate has decided, they've decided they're going to step out of the ministry. And Nate's, they're highly marketable people. Hazel's already got a job. Nate's looking for work. His education isn't education. But he had an opportunity with Enterprise to stay in the family business. Dan's big man at Enterprise. So Nate was going to work at Enterprise, and he had his third or fourth interview he was on. And he went in. You know, at Enterprise, you got to work a lot. You ever rent a car from Enterprise? Those people work a lot. All the time. They work all the time. Anyway, so they're... So they were trying to get Nate in the management program. And he said, but you got to work on Sundays. And in his fourth interview, he goes, I can't work Sundays. And so they didn't hire him. Come on, that's awesome. And just be a Christian all the time. Just be a Christian always. Everybody's hiring now, okay? He'll find work, and even if he doesn't, he maybe will be like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, you know? And even if I don't find a job, I will not bow down. I would rather go into the fiery furnace. He says to put on the armor of light. This is wartime language, amen? The night is over. The day is coming. You don't wear pajamas in the battle, amen? You wear armor in the battle, amen? And Ephesians 6 tells us what to wear: righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. See, these, Satan's not playing games. The Satanic Temple and others like it, they're not playing games. They're arming up. Are we? Are we ready for battle? The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. We're not sleepwalkers, amen. We are soldiers of light, amen. The world may be constantly dressing itself in darkness, but we will wear Jesus, and we will honor Jesus with everything we do in every way we can. So I say, wake up. Let's cast off the darkness. Let's put on Jesus. God bless. Amen.